Good morning. So great to see you all, and great to be seen by you. Those of you who are watching from home, welcome to Park Street Brethren Church. We're grateful that you are with us in this fourth week of Advent. It's almost Christmas. We're so excited. Today's text is from Luke chapter 2. It's actually the text that James read earlier. We're going to read it again. Here's the word of God for the people of God this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray together this morning. God, may you bless the hearing of your word, and may it be a seed that sprouts into a tender shoot that grows into a mighty, mighty blossoming, powerful tree and fruit of faith. We pray, God, this morning that you would be here in the midst of our everyday lives, in the midst of all the junk and the gunk that is going around. May you remind us of how good and beautiful you are. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen. Sigurd Eystensson, or Sigurd the Mighty, reigned as Earl of Orkney. You know, the hamlet of Orkley, from 875 to 892 AD. He was one of the key leaders of the Viking conquest of northern Scotland. Sigurd the Mighty. Classic, barbaric Viking dude. Most famous for the way that he died. Sigurd the Mighty, toward the end of his reign, decides he wants to challenge another local leader, a local, ruler of an area whose name was Mile Brigti. Good old Mile. Known as Brigti the Bucktooth. And he decided he was going to challenge him, so he sent word that they were to have a 40-man-per-side battle. So Sigurd emails or whatever Mael and says, "Find 39 of your best dudes, meet me at the square, we're going to throw down." Sigurd treacherously shows up with 80 dudes, not 40, and they slaughter Mael Brigti and his people.
as a trophy to bring home to demonstrate his great power, Sigurd takes Meilbrigti's head and puts it on the pommel of his saddle. You know, sometimes you go to a baseball game and you get like a bobblehead to take home? Similar. And however, on the ride home, Bucktooth Brigti, his head at least, ends up swinging and hitting Sigurd the Mighty's leg, and his tooth of this deceased person actually cuts Sigurd's leg pretty deep. And that cut ends up getting infected, and Sigurd the Mighty passes away because of the tooth of Bucktooth Brigti. Time of death, tooth hurty. We'll collect today's offering now. I like that story of Sigurd the Mighty. History tends to remember the people who do incredible things, amazing things. History remembers talented people, innovators, pioneers. History remembers the brave. History remembers the bold. Sometimes history remembers people as a warning of what we ought not do. Think about all these people that we hold kind of in our collective memory who've achieved that kind of place of prominence in the human psyche. You know, we're thinking of William Shakespeare, Amelia Earhart, Genghis Khan, Marie Curie, Elvis Presley, you know, like the real important people. They shared their gift, they left their mark, they live on. This is a series that we've been going through. It's kind of a strange series in some ways in the Advent season, in which we've been focusing on fears. Fears that we see in the lives of these people who experience the coming of the Messiah. Fears that we can really relate to because we are human beings. And that experience of the unknown and uncertainty and anxiety and fear is a universal one among our species. And every text that we've read over this Advent season, including this morning, has a declaration of angelic hosts, angelic people, messengers of God, telling people not to fear. And each week, as we've read, we have seen clearly in the text that they're saying this because the people that they are bringing messages to are overwhelmed at the power and the visage of these angels. We understand that. But again, because we're human beings and we can relate to fear on a very real, gritty, like granular level, we knew that it was not just the fear of the angel in front of them that those individuals were carrying, that they were carrying other fears as well. And that's what we've been talking about over the last several weeks. We've talked about how, you know, it's very easy for us as human beings to understand an aging priest with no children, the fears he might have about his reputation and the end of life care that he may or may not receive. We can certainly understand the fears of a pregnant teenager, of an unexpected pregnancy in the ancient world, the things that she was thinking about and concerned about. We can certainly understand the fears of her fiancé, who was an honorable man who knew for the rest of his life he would have a reputation of being a cuckold. We can understand these fears because we're human. And yet, to each and every one of these situations and individuals, God comes with this message: fear not. Fear not. And obviously, we felt strongly that this was the word that God had for his people in this year, 2020, the year of our Lord, in which I'm not sure that all the differences and disagreements and arguments that we've had over this year have really been about different philosophies of the best way to live. I think they've been more disagreements about the thing that we should fear more, right? Should we be afraid of black people, or should we be afraid of police officers, right? Should we be afraid of COVID, or we should be afraid of the vaccine of COVID? Well, that's fun. Should we be afraid of fascism, or should we be afraid of socialism? And we've been spending a lot of time insisting that the thing that we are more afraid of ought to be the thing that people other than us should be more afraid of. And I feel so strongly in this season that the message to the people of God from God's word, as we anticipate the coming of the Messiah, celebrate that he came and he lived and he died and he rose again, and anticipate his coming once more, that the message to God's people would be, regardless of everything else, fear not. Fear not. Why? Why ought we not fear? Well, because Christ has been born. That's why. Christ was born into the world of Sigurd the Mighty. He was born into a world that in order to be remembered, you have to fight and you have to claw and you have to achieve and you have to earn and you have to demonstrate incredible giftedness. He came into Sigurd's world, the world of betrayal and the world of death and the world of cruel irony, the world of Herod the Great, the world of power-drunk pharaohs and psychotic Caesars, right? And he didn't come in a kind of pristine palatial palace. Jesus didn't arrive on a white drawn carriage, horse drawn white carriage. Anyways, there was the color white was there. He shows up in this incredibly humble and incredibly gritty, grimy scene. And the first folks who hear the news of the arrival of the Messiah, I know this is such a familiar text and like you can only do so much with it, right? And we hear it every year. But like, I just continue to be amazed by. So the eternal Christ, who is co-equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, who exists out of time and who scripture says sustains all of reality with his being, that thing, God, enters human history, and God says, you know who needs to know about this? Is these folks out here in the field with the sheepies. It's incredible. At this point, Zechariah and Elizabeth know who Jesus is. And Joseph and Mary know who Jesus is. And that's it. But the coming of Christ needs to be trumpeted and announced and sang to somebody. Why not these shepherds? So this season, you might be feeling some of the same fears that some of these characters that we've interacted with over the last few weeks have felt. Maybe like Zechariah, you have been afraid of being disappointed. And so as a result, you've decided not to get our hopes up. Maybe like Mary, we fear being trapped, so we decide not to risk and we end up playing it safe. Maybe like Joseph, we fear being judged by others, so we hide who we really are from the rest of the world. Maybe you're like the shepherds who accepted their place in the world as outcasts and secondary characters people of no import. And so we resign ourselves to being overlooked and forgotten. Think of those fears and think about the state of affairs that we find ourselves in the world today. Afraid of getting our hopes up. The world is just broken. That's the way it is. We're gonna have to live with it. Afraid of being trapped, being pigeonholed, being judged. This is the era of super judgy, catty silliness, right? Fearing just that we're gonna be forgotten, ignored. So it's interesting in scripture because we went over this biblical theme that's all throughout the Hebrew scriptures and New Testament of God as our shepherd. We did a sermon series on it. Like there's just passage after passage of God who portrays himself to be understood as a shepherd over his people. Yet despite the fact that that is true in the ancient world, in the world that Jesus was born into, shepherds were not celebrated or thought highly of. In fact, it was the exact opposite. They were pariahs. They were on the edges of society. They were very mistrusted. So these shepherds would go out and they would obviously graze their flocks as part of their job. And sometimes they would graze on land that did not belong to them, obviously. And sometimes that land would belong to someone else. So as a result of this, in the time of Jesus' birth, the testimony of a shepherd was not accepted in the court of law, right? They are so viewed with such skepticism and scorn that even if they witnessed a crime and could testify or exonerate someone, their testimony was not valid. And I have always found that little tidbit so fascinating. Because if God was going to announce his arrival to earth to save humanity from the condition of sin, why would he choose the only group whose testimony is not taken seriously to be the sole holders of that announcement? And the only explanation I can understand is God doesn't judge your worth or value by worldly standards. And he came in this incredibly humble circumstance and announced his coming to an incredibly outcast and sussy group of people. Yeah, suspect. Sure, why not? Because part of his message is that the love of God is not only for those who make a name for themselves. In fact, the saving grace of Jesus Christ is first made available to those who have been pushed to the side. The birth of the Messiah means this: we're not hopeless, we're not trapped, judged, and forgotten. That's an important word for you in 2020 as we put an end to this year. You are not without hope. You are not trapped. You are not judged. You are not forgotten. In Christ, who is the hope of the nations, you have been set free. You have been accepted. And you are God's beloved. The coming of Jesus is the light that flips on, that exposes that all of the shadows we feared in the dark are now fleeing in the power of his presence and in the strength of his love. so many things that we ought not fear anymore because Jesus has come. So it's no wonder that in this season, the church celebrates hope and joy and peace and love. Because now that the Messiah has come, now that he has revealed himself not only to be the God of kings and kingdoms, but also a God of the forgotten and the lonely, he's here to make a way for us. He's here to allow the God's glory and humans' brokenness finally to come together and to be able to coexist because of what Christ has done. One more story and we can be done for today. When I was in third grade, I walked to Windsor Elementary School from my babysitter's house. It was about four blocks. And at some point during the school year, I discovered that there was kind of I don't think he was a mean dog, but he was not a friendly dog who lived on the route that I walked from school to my babysitter's house. He was a Dalmatian, and he would like growl at me and kind of follow me a little bit. He just wanted me out of his space. So I would like walk by his house and he'd like come up to it and he'd just kind of growl at me. And that's kind of intimidating for a third grader. Luckily for me, I was the same size I am now when I was in third, that's not true. I was small. But I was intimidated by this dog, so I figured out that I was gonna have my friend Clay, who was the kind of the toughest guy in my class. He was gonna like be my bodyguard and he was gonna escort me home. And he walked to school too and he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And so he would just kind of like escort me. He was Kevin Costner, I was Whitney Houston, and we would just go home. That was probably the best joke of the morning. That was right off the cuff. It so happened that I picked an excellent bodyguard because Clay often got into fistfights at school. And unfortunately for me, he got in a fistfight one day and he got some kind of consequence where he had to leave school 10 minutes early to avoid confrontation with other kids. I don't know. We grew up in Mayberry. I don't understand what happened. But I decided, well, I'm not going home without my bodyguards. So the first day that he was dismissed from school 10 minutes earlier than the rest of kids, I just went with him. I didn't really tell anybody. I was just like, well, this is my ride, so I'm leaving. And so of course, when it was time for me to leave and I wasn't at school, folks got concerned. And they called around and found out, yeah, I was at the babysitter's, and they're like, why did you leave school early? I was like, because the dog and Clay and like, what don't you understand about that? So my dad is like, okay, obviously there's something going on. So I remember him putting me in his old black Ford F-150 and we went driving through Stockport, Ohio to find this dog. My dad apparently believed in immersion therapy for me to overcome this fear. And so we went ahead and found the dog, got out, and of course the dog's like wagging his tail and being all nice, and my dad makes me come over and like pet him and stuff. And my dad was like, Nate, like, why are you afraid of this dog? He's a very nice dog. And I was like, well, yeah, he's nice because you're here, right? He's mean when I'm by myself. If you were around all the time, then I wouldn't be afraid of the dog. Christmas is the season that we celebrate God coming to earth so that no matter what we face in life, no matter what fear we encounter, from the smallest, stupidest thing to the scariest, biggest thing, that we don't do so alone any longer. Christ has come to the forgotten, to the overlooked, to the lonely, to those who are characters in the background. He's come to walk alongside all of us so that no matter what we encounter in this life, we can fear not because the God of the universe walks alongside us. Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, we exalt your name. We celebrate along with the angels who have sung from the creation of time to the lonely, ignored, chastised shepherds in the field. All of us probably find ourselves somewhere on that spectrum of importance, from angelic beauty to forgotten, ignored, despised. And yet we all join in the song. Glory to God in heaven and peace on earth because of your coming. We know that this is not the end of your story. The story of you coming and living a perfect life and dying a sacrificial death and rising from the grave 3 days later. There's more victories to be celebrated, and yet at the beginning, we celebrate the hope that we have because Christ is born. And if we find ourselves overwhelmed that we live in a violent, chaotic, and cruel world, we ought take heart. That is the world you entered, and that is the world that you are currently redeeming and restoring by the power of your Son. May we hold on to hope this season. May we have a peace that transcends understanding. May we have a joy that the world can never steal or shrink. May we have love overflowing, incredible, eternal love. And may all of the fears that used to loom so large in our life, may they be reduced to nothing. Because you stand beside us and you wrap your arms around us in this season. We pray, Jesus, that you would be in our midst today and that we would celebrate your coming. Come, Lord Jesus, come, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Quick reminder that we would love to receive a video from you this week of you and your family saying, this year God has gifted us with, and then you tell us what that wonderful gift is. We recognize that this Christmas Eve service will probably be different in that many of you are going to choose to participate from home, which is awesome. That's exactly why we have this kind of technology, so we can do that sort of thing. But we do miss you. We miss seeing you. We miss hearing what's going on. And so this could be an incredible blessing for our community. If you just, it doesn't have to be fancy. Look, just take your phone out, hit the red button, and say, this year God has given our family the gift of. It can be short and sweet, 5 to 10 seconds, and then email it to me at nate@parkstreetbrethren.org, or you can text it to me. We would just love to see your face and celebrate with you in spirit if you can't be here in person, or even if you can be here in person on Christmas Eve. We just want to be able to compile that and celebrate what God's been doing in the life of our community this year. So thank you in advance for that. We're looking forward to celebrating with you this Thursday. Receive this morning's benediction. May you know the goodness of God that casts out fear because his perfect love resides in you. May you know Jesus. Not because you've earned it or you've worked really hard at being good this year, but because he chose you even though you were a broken mess, a rebel, a sinner. That he came. He entered into the broken, chaotic, violent world that we inhabit to seek you out and to bring you home. So this Christmas, as the world screams in our faces about all of the things that should cause us to fear, may we be reminded that the love of God lives in us through Jesus, and that his love overcomes every fear in love. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. We miss you. We love you. Go in peace. We'll see you soon.